A lot of crows out here.
It's cold, dark, and all I can hear are our footsteps and the distant hum of the A303. But I'm here with Dr. Rupert Till to try to listen to a different sound.
So we're just walking into the circle of Stonehenge. Architecture and acoustics are the same thing. If you build something in a circle, it will have circular acoustics. So here, standing right in the centre of the stone circle, when I hit a drum, the sound leaves me. It hits every stone at the edge at the same time and returns at the same time, so you get a focused echo. And actually, the more noise you make, the more effect there is. If you come here on the solstice when there's maybe 1,000 people standing in this circle, it stimulates the sound a lot better. The circle of stones amplifies certain bass frequencies. About an octave lower than the lowest note a bass voice can sing. It's the sound that's talked about by Thomas Hardy and Tess of the D'Urbervilles.
"What monstrous place is this?" said Angel. "It hums," said Tess. "Hearken," he listened. The wind playing upon the edifice produced a booming tune, like the note of some gigantic one-stringed harp.
Hardy wasn't the only one to remark on the sound within the stones. The problem is that what we hear today is only a polluted fragment of what would have been heard 4,000 years ago.
Many of the stones have been taken away from the site, many have fallen down, lots have been eroded, and they're covered in lichen.
Susan Greeny is the site's historian.
It's a wreck, really, of what was originally here.
That's right, you're looking at a ruin.
It would be quite nice to be able to stand here with virtual reality and see the original thing, wouldn't it?
It would be amazing, yes, and to see all the lintels on the top of the outer circle, to see all the trilithons still standing, and they would have been... It's awe-inspiring to stand within it today, but I think it would be even more so in the past.
And so Rupert Till has created a virtual Stonehenge. Using technology pioneered in the games industry, it's a digital tour of the stones, intact, as they were 3,000 years ago. And on the new app, he's created a soundscape with the instruments of the time. And the inspiration for this interest in ancient soundscapes comes from the discovery that people weren't just painting in ancient caves.
The oldest musical instruments that have been found by archaeologists are bone flutes that are about 40,000 years old, and they've often been found in caves. We've seen in these caves, I've been into some stalactites that when you hit them, they ring. And the ones that ring have got marks on, and there's one next to it that doesn't ring, and that one hasn't got a mark on it.
19, 20, 21, 22.
It's video game technology you're using at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, and video games are immersive 3D audiovisual environments. They always include sound as well as visuals. I think they're the perfect solution for this sort of stuff.
The world of archaeology has become very excited by VR. Of course, some worry that it may encourage us to fill in gaps in knowledge that we can never prove. But for researchers such as Dr. Aaron Watson, this gives us a new sensory experience of the past and perhaps also helps us understand the past better.
The material record that survives from the past won't have all the answers. But when we are in a virtual environment, and we are quite literally tasked with saying, OK, if there are people here, what kind of clothes were they wearing? Were they colourful? Were they monochrome? Did people have body paint or tattoos? What were their postures? How did they move? How did they relate to one another? All of these questions would be demanded by that immersive experience.
So there it is, traffic and tourist free, the bass hum of Stonehenge.